Entrepreneurship is great, but can also seem overwhelming. Wouldn't you like to know the pros, opportunities, and problems with different business and investment strategies before you jump in? Well then, welcome to Entrepreneurship Exposed. Bop, 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 bop. Let's go! Welcome everybody to another episode of Entrepreneurship Exposed with your guy Bees. And today, we will be talking about something that's near and dear to me, right? Business versus investing, right? And we have a great guest on today, Marlon Walls, aka Deuce Walls. What's good, my brother? How are you?
What's going on, Beast? I'm so glad to be here, man. I'm super pumped for it. For one, that intro that I was just like the building you're in front of, I'm like, hold on, that catch your eye real quick. So I'm excited, man. I've been looking forward to having this conversation for a minute. Let's get it.
Thank you, my brother. It's a pleasure having you on here, man. I'm looking forward to this conversation too. And part of the reason I want you to introduce yourself and give info to, you know, about your background to the audience. But before that, part of the reason why I'm super excited about this conversation is I tell people all the time that there are three main ways of creating wealth. One is real estate, tried and true, time tested. Two is the financial markets. Stocks, Forex, crypto, right? And then three is owning a business, whether you buy it or build it, owning a business. So now we're talking about business versus investing. We're going to get into what I like to talk about with acquiring businesses, right? Because people don't realize that's the best investment that you can make. But we'll come back to that.
We'll get to it.
So please introduce yourself and tell the people a little bit more about yourself.
Yes, sir. So my name is Marlon Walls. I am a rental car fleet owner, also a real estate investor and a podcaster. It's also, you see me occasionally on social media, part-time social media influencer, I guess, in a way. But I would say my main thing right now is the rental car fleet owner. So me and my dad actually had started together 2 years ago. So we people know about platforms like Turo, Hire Car. That's the beginning. That's really, I don't consider that the actual rental car business. That's just the peer-to-peer ride sharing platforms to help you get your feet wet as far as renting out cars. That's where the start began as far as like on those platforms. We started off with just one car in 2020, scaled our fleet up to 10 cars in 2021. Now we're at around 24 cars. Actually, just got a new car in today, and we're continuously scaling our fleet. But now we're moving off those platforms. Like, our goal is not to necessarily be a rideshare car rental host, but more so to be an independent operator, one that has an entire business model attached to it, not just the general, like everybody's running out cars on Turo, trying to run the play, trying to get some passive income. None of that is actually true for me. Trying to actually establish a business model that is scalable and sellable more so than anything else, to where we're able to actually replicate it in different parts all over the country, to where, because it's franchisable, because we have actual system that we're operating through to be able to franchise in other locations.
Oh, Marlon. Oh my goodness. Okay, so we're gonna have to pause where we were about to go. Now we gotta go somewhere else for a second, right? All right. Now, you just hit every note that I have been trying to pump into people, because I started in the rental car business in 2020, thanks to Maddie J and Princess. And they told me at the time, they were like, yeah, you could turn it from a liability into an asset. And I was like, wait, what? And I never thought of it, because I'm not even the flashy type of dude. Right? I'm not the guy that likes to. I used to say, nah, I don't even want a Lamborghini. Why am I spend that much money on a Lamborghini? I love my G35 Infiniti that I got. I'm cool, right?
Yeah.
But once I heard that, I was like, well, I might as well do it, you know? And then I went all in, got a warehouse, you know, bunch of cars, all 90% of it exotic cars. And it was great. We was having a really good time, making a lot of money. Then things started to shift a little bit. And then I started telling people that, listen, it is not about the play. I don't like plays. I like sustainable strategies.
When I heard that,
you literally said the exact words that came out of my mouth. If you're going to continue doing this, you got to take it to next level. This it has to be a true business, not just a little hobby, right? And putting in the process, systems, and people in place so that it is replicatable, so that you can franchise it. That is the next level.
Yes.
That's how it should be. And you started off by saying Turo, Hire Car, all of those, they're good, but they're good for like, hey, I need some extra leads. right?
It's correct.
And I need some extra
lead. That is exactly what they are. That is a marketing platform. That is just one of your marketing platforms. That is not the only platform you operate on. That is one marketing platform. Your source of income is not reliant on them finding you different people. That is just one. You have all these other ones too that you need to be focused on too, to actually as a business model.
Too often people say, oh, what do you do? Or what business are you in? They're like, oh, I'm in the Turo business. No.
Turo's their own business. I'm not in the Turo business. They have their business. I'm not connecting the people that's renting cars to people that's that own cars. That's the Turo business. I'm in the rental car business.
Yes.
That's the big difference that I want people to understand when it comes
big to rental difference. Cars. And I believe it's all mindset.
It is.
Because if your mindset is I'm in the car rental business, you're going to start doing things for a car rental business. You're going to say, hey, I need to get, and I don't even know, let's say you certified by such and such. I need to get franchisable. I need to get this and this and that. You know, I need the right systems in place so that I'm not scrambling every time someone says, hey, I want to rent. And then it's like, okay, send me your license and insurance so that we could run the check. That should be automated. Right, correct. It needs to be a business. So I'm happy that you said all of that, bro. And I could talk for the longest on it, but we still got to shift back.
Come on, now,
I got one question for you though. I came out of that business for three reasons. One was because I realized I was violating one of my rules. I have certain rules that I try to live by in business, and one of my rules is to stick with B2B. I am a B2B person. Mm. Business to business is better because what ends up happening is when, for example, I had all these exotic cars. Correct. So that's people's disposable income. Oh, let me get a Lamborghini for the weekend, right? Oh, the economy is going through a recession. Well, I can't spend on that Lamborghini for the weekend. But if I have a business that is servicing other businesses, recession hits, they still need their business running. So they still need that service from me. So B2B is my go-to, right? Mm-hmm. And that I realized that I could have turned it. I could have said, hey, let me figure out how to have my cars rented by some other businesses for certain things. And correct. I don't know, limo companies or what do you call those things? Oh my goodness. What do you call the big vans?
There's passenger vans. There's like the sprinters. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Let me get some of the Benz sprinters. Yep. Let me do things like that. I could have done that, but I pulled out of it because of, I was violating that rule. Also because I realized that, the car industry has been overinflated right now. So I was able to make a profit on the cars that I sold off. Because I always have an exit plan. And that's another thing. People come into come car rental. And, see, you got me talking. I'm supposed to be interviewing you. And
right.
You got me on a whole monologue right now.
Come on, man.
But the exit plan is important. So when I bought cars, I was like, okay, I'm buying this car, but I'm buying it 3 years old because it already depreciated a certain amount. Then how much does it depreciate in another 3 years? So once it's 6 years old. Oh, by that amount? Okay, cool. I'll rent it out for that time with the intention of selling it by then. And then I know exactly what my projected income will be. My projected revenue will be because I can sell it. I don't buy a car that I cannot rent out for one third of the price of the car note per day.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, I need to cover my car note in that weekend, weekend. That's because somebody rented it for 3 days, that's about the car note. Then the rest of the month is me trying to, you know, make some profit on it.
Right.
And then I got to sell it in 3 years. I ended up selling sooner because I took advantage of the opportunity that I was getting prime dollars for every car. Right. So let me stop. I keep going on it because
I'm going to hear number three. That was two right there. That was
number three. I want to hear the third one. What did I say? I said, B2B.
Yeah, B2B.
The taking advantage of the prices.
And right.
The third one. I blame my boy, Matty J, and I blame Pushman Mitch and a few other people for making it so popular to do these car rentals and then to go into specific markets, the better markets, like
Atlanta. Miami, Atlanta getting hit up, boy.
I remember when we got the first Corvette C8. And it was like, oh, finally got it because we were waiting for so long. And it was renting for like 700 a day, something like that. And then after a while, once more and more of them started popping up, some people started renting their car, renting it for like $100 a day because they wanted to get rentals to get some reviews. And then that started driving the price down. And now the car that was meeting my criteria of one rental day covers at least a third of the payment, right, now it wasn't happening.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying? So yeah, those were my three things, is that became saturated-ish in my market, the B2B and the
Opportunity.
The opportunity.
How long do you want this podcast to be, man?
Yeah, I know.
I'm like sizzling right now.
Right. We got to shift, man. Because yeah, we could do this whole episode just talking about the car. Right. but we got to talk about business versus investing.
Yeah, so, man.
Tell me, bro, what does that mean to you? Because you really came up with that topic.
I did. Yes. So this is
why did you?
I know that? Because I understand your message. I think a lot of people don't. And I think it's foundational with, sorry, I read this book earlier. And I want to show it because this is what business versus investing is to me. Cash flow quadrant, Robert Kiyosaki. So I grabbed this book.
That is it right there.
This is what business versus investing means. So this is the first time I ever saw the two terms in the same book. So what this was is that it shows four different quadrants. E is for employee, S is for self-employed, B is business, I is investing. So just talking about those briefly, I don't want to really talk about E and S too much. I think we kind of get a gist of that. E is employee, S is somebody who's working for somebody else. S is self-employed, S person who's owning the job and acting like the solopreneur that's doing absolutely everything with no system. We're not going to talk about either one of those. Mm. But we're going to talk about B and I. B is a business owner. The business owner is somebody who has a system that's working for them, but there's two ways to do it though. You can actually create the business, or you can actually be the I, which is invest into a business or invest into real estate. And so it's a different way of how you obtain this level of income. So all these are different income streams. As a business owner, you're creating an income stream based on what you have built. Like you're actually a business owner that created systems, had people come into place, and that is orchestrating something that's large enough to run on its own without necessarily you working for the business. That is what I'm building right now with the rental car business. But I personally say, and from my experience of building this and everything else, the real goal is for me is time freedom.
Yes.
Because I care about time freedom. The building of the business is actually time consuming.
Yes.
So it's contradictory to your goal. Mm. So of the four quadrants, which one gives you the time freedom piece?
The I
quadrant, the investor quadrant. That is where you start seeing a whole different way of creating income for yourself. That is either by strategy or just through straight cash, you're able to get a return on your investment. So if you put cash into something, you get cash back. So your money is working for you as opposed to a business that you built working for you. Yes. And so that at the end of the day, that is really the goal for, I should say, no matter if you're an employee, self-employed business owner, you should all be striving to get I quadrant income. That's the money, yes, that you truly do not have to work for in order to get. That, yes, is, I can't preach it enough. That is the ultimate goal, income. So when you talk about buying businesses, you are buying income. That means unless you can either put cash up for it, or you can have creative strategies to get it for without any money out of pocket. But you're still operating in the investment quadrant, where you are essentially creating income using by leveraging money. You're not actually leveraging your actual physical labor or your time in order to get that income. That's what an investor is versus the business owner.
All right. Well, I guess the episode is done because you just said everything that I needed to say today. So there's nothing else to talk about, bro, because that is it. That's what it boils down to. Right. And here's the problem. I spent a lot of time in the B quadrant. Correct. Right. And I thought, I'm fine. This is what I needed. I was building multiple businesses. I actually started figuring out how to create a consortium of businesses where they're operating and helping each other in different ways, mm-hmm, like Donald Trump and many of the ultra wealthy do. And I was always saying to myself, oh yeah, there's one more quadrant. And I was like, yeah, but that's for when you're like super, super rich. And then you're just going around and throwing money at things to invest in it. So I kind of was like, ah, yeah, that's not me. Right. I was making a lot of money. I was good, but yeah, I'm not just going to go and buy Twitter or something like that, because that's what I thought.
Elon Musk, he got a whole bunch of money, so he can do that. I can't.
Okay, so here goes the thing. Elon Musk bought Twitter doing the same strategies that I use to buy smaller companies, a leverage buyout, a LBO. Sir. He did not, he's one of the richest men in the world. He didn't use his money. He leveraged debt inside of Twitter in order for him to acquire Twitter to get more cash flow. A good friend of mine, Brett Ibitda, he mentioned that, how did he say it? He said, when you're buying these businesses, you're buying years of cash flow, years of equity. They built it up. They got it to a certain value. You just come in and swoop it, and now you're adding that cash flow to your assets under management. And I think that mindset of an investor is critical, because even I had the wrong mindset when I was thinking of, you know, getting into that I quadrant. So now I realize that, hey, I can get these businesses. I can be an investor with no money coming out of my pocket. That's game changing. And now I've bought cash flow, and, you know, I'm not working. Definitely not in the business on the E and the S.
Oh, yeah, you're not. Yeah, no. That's why I said we're gonna skip over that.
We ain't even gonna talk about that.
We're gonna talk about
that. But I'm not even working on the business in the B quadrant. Instead, I work above the business in the I quadrant. Above meaning I'm not, you change your whole perspective. I'm not even concerned with the product. You know, this is the cap for my camera right here. I'm not concerned with, okay, hey, can I check the quality of the camera, of the cap? Oh, wait a minute, does it squeeze here? Oh, we need to make it a little bit bigger so that we can do this. I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned with my camera cap business as the product. I'm looking at that business and saying, okay, what are the inefficiencies in this business? How can I make it more productive? How can I make it more valuable? How can I sell it? Right? That's that mindset. It took a while to get there, even for me. And I'm trying to convey that message to more and more people, especially in our community. And you said it in the beginning. You said that you don't think everybody gets it, but you definitely get it. Why do you think some people just don't get it, or they get it and feel like, oh, wow, that's amazing, but I can't do it? Why do you think that is?
So it's multiple things. I would say the first one, first and foremost, is that depending on your audience and the age of your audience, you're talking to a lot of people who, especially if they're older, like I'll say not even older, but like middle age and like, let's say 30s and 40s, those people have been in a certain system for a long time. That system is like the 9-to-5 life, the actual day to day of going to work, trading time for money. So they actually are operating in the E quadrant doing that. And so when they think of starting a business, they first think S quadrant. I'm about to go do everything myself. That's the immediate shift that they have in their mentality. So it's all mentality shifts in how you operate. So you're taking an employee mentality saying I had to work for my money. And so now you're going to take the same exact mentality and say, I got to work for my money in my business. So that's why they came and shift from S to B in the first place, because they couldn't even get past that part. That's a lot of people get stuck right there. So after that, now it's about the experience level, because now you have to figure out, how can I run a team? I've never probably ran my own team and said I was the initiator of the ideas and creating everything on my own, as far as like having the vision for, like you're talking about, how can we create this, create a better product? Answering those type of questions, that is a business owner task. Most people are saying, how can I just increase my, I want to get in front of more people because keep on getting more sales so I go deliver more packages. That is the still in the working in the S quadrant, because you need to be bringing other people in that already know how to do it. And then you just figure out, how can I increase better my marketing? That way this person can go work more for me in that regard. So it's really more so it's a mentality thing from and starting from early on. The second part is it's in regards to what they believe that they need in order to achieve what you are trying to get them to achieve. So breaking that down in English, what you want them to achieve is buying a business to where they don't have to go work so hard in order to achieve the benefits like the cash flow and things like that. When you say the term buy a business, that means buy typically in every other sense. If you say buy a car, if you say buy a house, if you say buy some chips, every time you say buy, that means I have to spend money. If I'm not spending money, that means I have to spend credit. So now associate that term buy in business equals, when you hear business, you think of Apple, you think of Amazon, you think of Tesla. Businesses are expensive. Buy means that I have to buy something expensive. If I couldn't buy a house, even buy a whole business, not going to happen. I'm going to cancel myself out and not even worry about it. So it's really about delivery more so than anything else. Like, how can you convey this message and break it down to where it doesn't sound intimidating from the beginning? Once you can do that, then you will start getting more people in, because now they're not intimidated by by the process that it will take to actually achieve your goal you want them to achieve. I think that's the biggest thing, more so even than the personal experiences, is the communication aspect of it.
Mm. So it's a funny thing you say that, right? In the beginning, when I started spreading this message, I used to tell people, well, I'm not going to say, I don't like to say buying a business. I say I acquire a business, because no money came out of my pocket for me. Right. So I didn't really buy it. I just took it over, right? But then I started getting faced with the people who were like, when I say acquire a business, it sounded even more.
Yeah, like, I'm about to say, just because of the word now. So it's like, how can I find, and that's one thing I love doing, is because everything is psychology for me.
Yes.
Psychology is like my number one favorite subject. Even I didn't even do it in school and while I was in college, but as I've grown and start seeing business more and more, I see that psychology is really the game you're playing, because it's like you being able to share with somebody the value of something is all based on psychology. It's not even based on the product itself. It's based on their belief that they can achieve the product, or their belief that they can do it. And so if you can learn how to say it in a way that makes it make sense for them, that's where you'll be able to start bringing people into the community. That's where you'll be able to start really influencing change. Is by so all work. We're all working on the wording, though.
Okay. So, all right, we can get back to you now, though, bro. So tell me, what are you investing in right now?
So, man, a lot of my time is invested into building the business at this point. Like, more so anything else, my investment. So I would say, first of all, looking at the house I'm in right now. So the house I'm in is you can literally see the whole house from left to right all in one. So not the house, but where I'm living at, my little personal living quarters is a garage apartment. Mm-hmm. So I live my garage apartment is above the main house downstairs. So like I said, I mentioned earlier, I'm a real estate investor. So this house I live in is called what people call a house hack, where the downstairs is a 4-bedroom house. I actually rent out the entire downstairs. The rent is more than my mortgage. So that means I get paid to live here while I continuously build up my business that I'm working on right now. Mm-hmm. And so on top of that, we also have other rental properties where, I'm talking about like my parents actually have done certain rental property deals with me, done a few flip deals out in San Antonio with one of my my podcast co-hosts. We've done real estate as well. And same thing with, you mentioned the markets earlier. I do some long-term investing just because I don't focus so much on it at the moment, because I'm spending most of my time in the business. So I do like long term. But if I was to do anything different outside of business, this is just an extra, it would be buying businesses and or stock options.
Options, 100%. It's funny that you mentioned that, you know, in tandem, because in both cases, you can make money when things are good and make money when things are bad. Right. So like right now is one of the biggest wealth transfers about to happen in this country ever.
I believe it.
And two reasons. One is because as we're going through this recession right now, or about to start this recession, you could get a lot of businesses at a discount.
Correct.
Right. Which you could then scale and sell later. But the main thing is that this decade, 12.5 or so, around 12 million baby boomers have with businesses are retiring, right? There's like 50 million baby boomers and like 12 million of them have businesses, and they're all retiring this decade. Now, I'm older than you. My mom used to have this thing that always point behind me. It's called a China cabinet. It always sat right behind me. You know what China cabinet is?
Yeah. Okay. My grandmother.
True. Well, she'd always be like, oh yes, when I'm gone, you're gonna get this the China, the fine China. I was like, I don't want that. I mean, thanks, mom, but no, thank you. That's what's happening when a lot of people are shutting down their business. They're like, oh, I'll give it to my son, my daughter. They're like, no, I don't want it.
Yeah, so that's true.
They don't know that they could even sell their business, and business is just shut down. So now you can swoop in with the tactics that we're using, these LBO strategies, acquire the business, acquire cash flow, and no money comes out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So to me, that is critical when it comes to, in terms of investment. You can make money when things are getting bad because you can acquire those businesses at a discount. You can scale it with a couple of quick changes. A lot of these businesses, especially by baby boomers, maybe they didn't do no marketing. maybe they didn't do this. The common things that you and I may think of, they might have not been doing it. And now you can scale the business and flip it later, just like how you would real estate.
And that this part is huge too. I think, I don't know if this is a deterrent, but I think this would be a deterrent for people who actually take the first step of saying, you know what, I may be able to buy a business. So the next deterrent is now going to be, do I know how to add value to a business to be able to flip that profit later? Mm. Because I think this is probably one of my favorite things of me actually running the business for long enough. I've gained experience of seeing value add situations, seeing where people are all flowing towards and where's the missing piece that nobody's looking at. That is something I got gained from experience. So now if you can show people how to recognize opportunity, that may be a value. That would be a huge value add in itself. But outside of that, that's where now that's going to be where they start doubting themselves again. It's like, how can I add that extra value to be able to turn that profit later?
Yeah. It was funny you say that, right? My students, last year, it was when the BBI opened, the beginning of 2021. And in it, that's the Business Builders Institute. That's my platform where I teach people how to acquire businesses, right? I started teaching how to scale businesses, how to build them from scratch and how to scale them properly with process systems and people and how to structure them the right way so that you can have the best tax situation and everything, plus some generational wealth strategies like how to use a trust with your business and your family trust, how to use infinite banking. I did all of these things and I kept telling my students, I want y'all to learn this because next year I got something really big for y'all, but I want y'all to go through this first. And they were like, next year? And I was like, yeah, next year, because there's a lot that what I have to teach is not going to be in a quick month mentorship. It's a lot to go through. So last year was all exactly what you said, what to do with a business once you have it, whether you built
right.
it, you bought it, right? How to scale it. Then this, the end of last year, I started showing them, okay, now, how do the wealthy scale their business? By buying another business and rolling it into their current one. Ooh. So we went into that, the next level of everything that I was teaching before. So you're 100% right, though. By showing them what can you do with it, that helps break down the barriers for people. But here's the biggest part of it. My strategy that I teach, you can acquire any type of business. I have a colleague who acquires businesses going through bankruptcy. So it's kind of like in real estate when you get, what do you call it? The tax liens, and you find the tax liens and then you can get those properties. Mm-hmm. You know, it's similar to that. But I don't teach that method. Why? Because what's my ultimate goal? My ultimate why? Time freedom.
Yeah. Right?
So what I do is I only choose businesses that have enough revenue to pay for a CEO in it. Because I don't want to be the CEO. So imagine now you're a brand new person. You don't know how to build a business, but you've learned from me how to acquire one for no money out your pocket. And because you chose the right ones based off of the acquisition criteria that I teach, you get one that has enough revenue to hire a CEO, promote the COO that was in it with the other seller, right? And you are more passive now. I'm an investor where I just do quarterly earnings reports. That's it.
That part was so important.
The next level.
That part was so important because, like I said before, well, I don't know if I even said it. It's not about convincing people that this works. What it's hard to convince somebody about is, can they do it?
Can they?
Because they have doubt, not in the stream. Like, they don't doubt that Apple can run a successful business. They doubt that they can run Apple and make it and still be successful. So just as an example. So can I be in that CEO seat and still make this business run and operate and grow it to where I can sell it for a profit? That is the where the limiting beliefs will be had. So now if you mentioned the CEO route of hiring that, that's another barrier breakdown. Like,
exactly.
So that's good. That's really good because that's what you, that's all convincing people about this is convincing them that they don't have to, that they are capable of doing it based on like eliminating all their limiting beliefs. That is what's blocking people from that's on outside from coming in is that they don't believe that they can do whatever that may be. And it's a whole bunch of different ones. But the more you can break down, the easier it is for them to come on in.
Yeah. And you know, I love using the example of Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, right? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he does. They acquire these companies and he says, hey, you guys are the professionals. You're the experts. You guys run it. I just own it, but I'm not going to interfere. I'm not going to come in and say, hey, let's change everything. Nah, you've been successful for all these years. That's why I want your business. So I'm going to come in and you keep running it. I may give some ideas. Hey, how about we start adding some funnels because we don't have any automated funnels, blah, blah, blah. Just little things like that. But you, one of my students said he waited so long to join the BBI because he thought buying a business was buying a job. And he was like, I'm so busy, I don't have time for another job. Say that again.
He thought he had to be the CEO, but really the chief everything officer, where he thought he had to be like, I bought a whole business. They got all these they have been used to operating as self-employed. So they're going to take that same mentality to the next business. And the business has all these operations. Like, I got to do everything now at the higher scale. I can't imagine.
Once he saw the material, I was like, wait a minute, I don't have to work in it. That was like game
changing. So employer works in their business. They do everything. So if they're at that mentality, you have to first teach them how to think like a business owner before they even think to acquire a business. Because acquiring is the investor quadrant, but the building the business, that's why I said I'm so grateful that I'm actually doing it, because now I've been able to shift my mentality from the self-employed to the business owner by building up my own and seeing the difference in thought process. Now it makes more sense about what the I quadrant look like for buying or acquiring a business.
So, okay. We've been all over the place, different aspects. This is an awesome conversation, man. I love when people get it. So, you know, we can just bounce back and forth with each other.
For sure.
But we have to go to my pop segment. It's time to pop this bubble. It's time to pop the business versus investing conversation. So what I'm asking you are, what are the pros of having that mindset of business versus investing? The pros of getting into a business or investment, or looking at the business as an investment? What are the pros that you see that people should know?
The pros of having a mindset is 1,000% gearing towards selecting the right one that fits your goals. If your goal, people say their goal is financial freedom. I dare you to think further and say, do you desire a time freedom piece? Because you can be financially free and like bring a whole bunch of money in, but if you don't have the time freedom along with it, then it doesn't matter, in my opinion. So if I start from the very beginning and I know that my goal is time freedom, now I can look at building a business versus investing and saying which one meets my criteria, which one helps me get to my goal faster. Like you said earlier, you said your goal was to have the time freedom. So you said, I'm going to get the CEO to place in that position in the business so I can have the time freedom. So by you having the knowledge of business and investing, now you can start off at the very beginning and say, my goal is this. I'm going to select what's in line with my goal. That's the number one thing.
I love it. You know what else? Add to that. A lot of times people come to me and they say, hey, I want to start a business, but I want to follow my passion. And I say, well, your passion may not pay the bills, right? So if you follow proven business model, then you get it cash flowing. You can use that to fund your passion.
Oh, right? Yes.
However, if you buy a business, you can follow your passion right off the bat.
Come on with it, right? Business
already, you love golf. Okay, buy that golf business. It's already cash flowing. It already got tax returns. It already got customers, everything. And you could choose to work in it because it's your passion. I don't want to work in nothing. But,
man, come on. That right there, that will shift people's mentality, because I really will hope so. Because that is literally a fear that people have. It's like, I don't want to do something that I'm not passionate about. We've heard one time from a guy named Andre Hatchett on our podcast. He said sometimes passion comes on the back end, meaning that you find a business that can fund the passion. Yes. And so, I mean, you took it a step further and said, you go buy the passion out of the gate. You can work in the passion like that. That's a whole other level, bro. I love it. That really changes the game right there. And like, so that was the epiphany moment for me, because I know that you don't necessarily have to, your business that's producing you the income does not have to be the one that you're passionate about, but it can fund your passion. And so, like I said, that took them to the next level for me. I love
that. There you go. Okay, so next in the pop segment are opportunities. Mm-hmm. What do you see as opportunities out there? I think I named one earlier with this recession coming and baby boomers, but what do you see as opportunities when it comes to business versus investing?
Man, I mean, that's a huge one right there with the investments. Like I said, stock options is my number one opportunity. It's always there, no matter what, whether it's going up or market's going up or down. Now, I will shift back to myself, for instance, for the rental car business, because a lot of people are about to leave the rental car business because of the fact that they may not see their cars going out as much because people have less discretionary income. You mentioned that earlier. That was a good opportunity for you. I never got to respond to that. My thing is shifting to the B2B by being the one that remains and stays while everybody else leaves. that limits the competition. So that way, when things do come back around, mm-hmm. I'm going to be the top. I have the history in my industry, and I'm continuously expanding while everybody else is running away, because now there's less competition and I'm actually seeking the blue ocean. I'm not seeking being on tour. I'm seeking who needs my services, not who wants my services. So that's for me. Yeah. That is the hidden opportunity. That's why I'm staying in and continuously acquiring, because now we're shifting our strategy altogether to who can we find that needs our service, not wants it.
Ooh, there we go. There we go. I love that. That's definitely the case. And being able to weather that storm is critical, because yep. some people, you know, they over leveraged themselves when it came to like the cars, mm-hmm. right? They were like, oh, we could just get everything on credit. Yeah. But you also have to be able to, you know, manage cash flow and pay those bills right. when the times go down. So you got to be able to weather that storm. So the fact that you guys have been able to do it and grow during that storm on top of that, you're definitely in a good place. So now we got to get into the problems, right? And maybe we just touched on some of it too, but the problems when it comes to business versus investing, what would you say that people need to be wary of?
The problems is that, especially I'm going to talk to people who are coming from the employee versus the entrepreneur mentality. That is probably the biggest problem, is that you have to overcome your own mentality. You have to overcome that the ways that you were used to operating, as far as the ways of bringing in money, is no longer in the entrepreneur side of the business owner, even the investor. Money comes in differently. Especially, I'm going to talk to business owner, going to that business owner mentality, because a lot of people are used to getting that stable check. They're used to seeing money come in, no matter if work was slow, if work was fast, they get the stable check of it, the employee. When you come into business, you like the income is not guaranteed. You have to be innovative and forward thinking about how do these potential external factors, such as recessionary times, such as all these things that are coming into my business, how does that affect my consumer? You have to be thinking of those things and thinking, do I have a consumer that's going to stay with me during recessionary times, during slowdown spending, when they have less discretionary income? Or do I need to have other consumers that are going to be a guarantee that need my services during this time? If you can't think like that, then you are probably going to be hit the hardest, because your income is solely dependent on somebody else providing you with leads. And if those leads are not people that you actually need, that need your services, then you're going to be SOL.
True that. There we go. I love it. I love it, man. Very insightful information, important information. And that's a lot of times we get into, you know, we say that word entrepreneur. I remember when it wasn't even as cool as it is now.
Right.
Right? Like a lot of us have made it cool. People are like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. I want to be an entrepreneur. My guys, Justin Owens and them, you know, they got the shirt, rapper, athlete,
entrepreneur. Yeah, right? Yeah.
And it's become the uniform for entrepreneurs. I'm trying to make this one become the uniform for investors. Yeah, right. Like, just ask me how. But, you know, when it wasn't as popular, you didn't have all that information in front of you. That's and it was true. Like, it was very scary. It's like, well, what am I getting myself into? You know what I'm saying? True. But now getting that information and acting upon it, you're a little bit more prepared for this journey. So I love what the insight that you gave in order to help people prepare for their journey.
Yeah. And I would say the information was everything, man. Like I can never come up and say that it was all me, because I've gotten so much information from other resources. I've seen you on Instagram. I've seen so many people on social media. I've been in mentorship groups. I've learned a lot, and that has helped me mitigate my fear even of getting into business. And then once you actually get into it and learn from experiences, that's what's now creating more of the knowledge. Now I'm learning new people to talk to. Like I'm no longer seeking knowledge just from the social media influencers. Like even today, I was in what's called an ACRA meeting. ACRA is American Car Rental Association. That is a company that houses Enterprise Holdings, Budget Avis Group, like what's it called? Hertz Holdings. Yeah. Like these are people that are in those conversations. I was literally eyeball out me being my complexion and even my hair color. I'm in the right room for sure. So that's the rooms. That's who I'm seeking mentorship from now, as far as getting me to the next level. And so, like I said, it's all about information for me though. One of my big favorite sayings, the only difference between where I am today and where I'm trying to get to and where my goals are is the right information and time. Once I get the right information and time elapses, I'm going to get there.
But you have to, and you take it for granted because you know you're going to do it, but you have to say the information, but the execution.
Ooh.
That's the key right there. You got to get the information. And a lot of people get the information.
No, it's not enough.
Everybody executes.
You got to execute, man. When you get the information, it's useless if you're not going to do anything with it. So save your time and don't even worry about it.
For sure. So tell me, what's next for you? What are you going to do next? Business, investing, buying businesses? Let's go.
Hey, I mean, it's not going to be too much longer. You're going to see me in BBI, man. Like, it's just a matter of time. That's the same thing. I would be up in there too, because I know long term that is, like I said, the investor strategy, that's the ultimate way. So my two, like I said it earlier, my two that I'm going to go in at, I would say three. My three main sources of income when it's all said and done are like the ones I rely on, the buying of businesses, real estate investing, stock options. Those are going to be my three. And then outside of those, that's going to pay all the bills. That's going to pay for the lifestyle. And my goal really is to be able to influence other people to be able to do the same thing. Coming on podcasts like this, doing more speaking engagements, being an ambassador of change and being able to be that communicator that shows people that it's possible is what I really like to do.
Nice. I love it, man. And I know you will, bro. So I got a challenge for you. At the end of this decade, right now I have a challenge that's called the $1 trillion table challenge. Mm. At the end of this decade, I want to sit in a room at a table with people that look like me, and we have $1 trillion assets under management, AUM. And sometimes people hear that, they're like, $1 trillion? That's crazy. No, it's not crazy. I'm not saying $1 trillion in my pocket. I'm saying assets under management. I got real estate, I got businesses, and I got investment portfolios, stock portfolios, options, and that collective portfolio that I'm managing and every other person at the table is managing, we equate to $1 trillion.
Beyond possible, right? Man. Like, I don't doubt it for a second.
So will you be at that table?
I'll be at the table. I can say full on confidence, I'll be there.
Let's get it, my brother. Hey, man, listen, this has been an amazing conversation. This has been a fun conversation, more than anything, because you hit some nerves right at the bat, and I was like, oh, I got to get into that. And we just all over on it's not everybody that gets it. And I saw Leah.
Leah was up in here.
That Marlon gets it.
Yeah.
So, bro, how can the people find you? Where do they find you online? Mention your podcast as well. And yep. I'm looking forward for the day when you bring me on to, let's make it happen.
We're going to fly out to Miami just to see you, man, because we do in-person podcasting. So we're going to make that special trip just because I think we haven't had a guest in a minute since we went out to Atlanta. But we're making that special trip. We might just do literally just to come see you out there for sure.
Come on, my brothers. Yeah. Say the word. I'm here, man. Yes, I appreciate that.
But yeah, you can check me out at Deuce Walls on social media, every social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, of course. Those are my main three. As far as our podcast, Money Monopolizers podcast, that's the shirt I'm wearing right now, actually. Money Monopolizers, check that out too. And we post a lot of informative content. I post edutainment content on my page, so you'll learn about the rental car business. You'll probably laugh at the same time. Check me out on that's Deuce Walls. So that's where you find me at.
All right, my brother. Well, we got to do a reel together one day too.
Yeah, right. No, you can get some funny ones too. Yeah, I like them, man. So
thanks, bro. Appreciate you, man. Hey, Marlon, thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you for sharing your experiences. I love your goals, your direction, your intention. You're moving with intention. That's important. So keep doing you, brother. Keep doing big things, and impacting our community, man. And appreciate you coming on, my bro.
Yes, sir. No, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody. That's another episode of Entrepreneurship Exposed with your guy, Bees. Stay tuned for the next one. Don't miss it, because we are going to continue to expose every aspect of the entrepreneur game. All right. See y'all later. Let's go. Peace.